Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. You enjoy your day off? What were you doing? Were you working on songs? What were you doing, man?
No, I mean, I can work on some songs if that's what needs to happen. The Royals offense is struggling. I stopped singing Pasquantino, and now he's struggling for the last week.
Ebbs and flows of a baseball season.
So, you know, the parts that come out of there. So my wife had been called for jury duty, and my daughter had a doctor's appointment that she needed to go to. So
did your wife get selected? Like,
she did
actually
not.
Selected?
Thank God.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
No, she didn't. She, like, you know how the way the jury pool works. Apparently in the county in which we live, they invite everybody over, and then they reduce it to, like, 50 people before, like, electronically, just random number generator. She wasn't even selected through that part of the process.
Good.
So she didn't even get close to getting selected. So, nope, free and easy. Don't
she
have to
said,
worry
my
about
my husband talks on the radio. They said, all right, get the hell out of here.
Would that get her out of the radio?
I don't know if your spouse does. I know for us, I've told you this, like, I'm never worried about, like, actually being placed on a full-blown jury. Maybe you get selected, right? We all just randomly would get selected one day. But actually having to be on the jury, no, they're going to ask what you do for a living. Yeah, I talk on the radio. Like, oh, what kind of, I'm telling you, get them out of here. Get them out
you
of here.
You think that's enough to
yes,
just get us booted?
They don't want somebody on the radio Ooh. On a jury. I'm serious. Now, if you're behind the scenes or whatever, different. But on the radio,
so you're saying Drew could get selected, but they're never going to take
me. If he says, "Hey, I produce the show and I talk on the radio," then he can get out of it. I don't think you and I will ever end up being on an actual jury as long as we do this for a living.
I have been called in for jury duty twice. Remember, one time I had to miss a show because they called me in. They did not select me for that jury, although they only asked me like five questions. They did not select me for that jury. They didn't dismiss me early. I went through the whole like early process. And the other time I went, they didn't select me either.
How long until you told them what you do for a living, though?
They ask you that like right away.
And so you were gone?
They didn't boot me right then. They let me sit back down. They're like, what do you do for a living? I was like, I work in radio. I'm like, all right.
Oh, thanks. You work on radios?
No, I said I work in radio.
I talk on the radio.
I said I work in radio.
Get out of here.
If you said you talk on the radio, then I think you would have probably been.
I'm planning on blabbing about this whole case.
Yeah, I don't think
I'm going to be anywhere near this thing.
I don't think I'm going to be able to avoid talking about it on my radio show that I do.
It would be very hard, I'll be honest. They warned her that, like, in the county, though, because, like, she doesn't get selected for the next 2 years. Someone's like, how long will this thing take? And they're like, it'll take, like, this case will take, like, 3 days. And then they were like, well, how long is, like, a normal case take? They're like, well, we have a capital murder case coming up in about 6 months, about 6 months, and that'll take, like, a couple of weeks you'd have to be on it. It's like, of all the things, you're going to get stuck on a capital murder case? That would be crazy.
That'd be brutal. Yeah. That'd be brutal. Look, I know it's very important, obviously, that people serve on juries, but just saying, I think we're good.
I'd like a reasonable, level-headed person to be on my jury, so I don't ever try to get out of it. if they put me on there, I answer the questions honestly. Mm-hmm. I don't try to get out. I don't like show up wearing something absurd or say crazy things or say that I can't make it work because the show would fall apart. If I was just gone for 2 weeks, they'd have no hope. I don't say it's anything like that.
But do you think your job can continue without you?
No. The answer is, no. In our case, yes.
Just like, no. What will the people of Kansas City do without me talking sports to them?
Someone says, Your Honor, I've written a song about the defendant. It'll be premiering tomorrow at 10 a.m. I've written a song about the case, and I'd like to perform it live on the air.
There you go.
I've only been selected twice. I only had to show up to court once, and
I'm going to jinx myself now. But one time I was selected, I hadn't switched my driver's license over from living in Kansas. When I moved out to Boise, I got like a phone call or something in the mail, because mail forwarded over, and I was like, yeah, I don't even live in that state anymore. They're like, okay, well, don't worry about that. And that was the end of it. And I haven't, knock on wood, been selected.
Same thing happened to me twice now. I've been selected, but I had already moved.
Nice.
So
it's working out great for you. They're choosing you, so Drew, far. Right after you leave.
913-586-7610, Jay's Southland Tow Service text line. Lot to get into, man. You missed yesterday, obviously, towards the tail end of the show, the Travis Kelce, what was initially reported as an extension. We got further details. It's a raise. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But the big news right now impacting the city from a sports front is what could happen today in Topeka. It's the final day of the session. They could technically extend it, but it's veto session in Topeka. And that is the plan that the legislature is putting forward, and they're going to vote on at some point. That's the expectation today to lure the Chiefs and Royals, or
sports teams,
either.
As they put it.
Yeah, they didn't actually name the
Chiefs. They
could
be trying to steal the Comets. You
don't
know.
That's true. That's very true. No, it is a plan that's pretty obvious, right? To put them in a position, if it passes today, to be able to have everything available to negotiate with either the Chiefs or both, I guess, and Royals about potentially building a stadium. And the details on it, the language of the actual bill is not available yet, so we don't know the full specifics, but based off of a committee hearing last night, they're looking to create a major star bond district. We've talked about that before. It's a tool that the state has, anticipated sales tax revenue. Basically, you're paying it off later down the road with sales tax in that area. And the key part, Cody, is 100% of the financing for a stadium. That was at least what was discussed
last
night.
That's a big number.
Minimum. So it was the way they worded it, was a minimum $1 billion investment for a 30,000+ seat stadium. Minimum a billion. We know the project for, let's say it's a new Arrowhead. It's a $3 to $4 billion project or whatever. But this doesn't mean it's happening, but this is also not a coincidence that 2 days after, now 3 days after, Clark Hunt, for the first time publicly, we played the audio yesterday, we can play it again, publicly acknowledged for the first time that renovation wasn't really their first plan anymore.
So on the chart of F around and find out, this is the find out portion, right? We'd all agree with that system. It wasn't a threat, and I think this is kind of important about it. Kansas is really going to try to steal these teams. Still doesn't mean they will. It doesn't mean they'll be successful.
Right.
But they're not going to sit around and wait and slow crawl this thing, because the whole, like, the leases are up in 2031. That is not the timeline the teams are operating on. Teams do not just wait. This is not like Drew's lease at his old apartment where he gets to just like be in it till the last day and then the next day be in his next place. That's not how any of these deals work. They do not like to work in that finite time. The Chiefs do not want to have to like ask the Truman Sports Complex for an extension of the lease or go play at Lawrence Stadium for a year while their new one is finished being built. They don't want to do all that. They want their new digs, hypothetically, built before the old one is up. And so you don't have till 2031 to figure this out. It is not insignificant. And honestly, this is the whole point of what we were talking about, is if you decided by voting, you had a choice. You didn't think that the plans made sense or they gave enough detail. I totally understand that. We agree on a lot of the parts of the things they did wrong. The part that I think we were talking about on this show that are very true are, if you chose that option, you have now started the process of they will look at other options.
Yeah, and it's here now. That's the, it's happening now that they get to be essentially a free agent and check out what's going on. And the state of Kansas is prepared potentially today to pass a bill that would make it a lot easier for them to negotiate and say, here's everything we can offer you.
Yeah. Now, just a whole pile of money.
And
Scrooge McDuck pile of gold coins for you, please.
It doesn't mean that the state of Missouri can't counter and say, hey, we got to get moving now. The state of Kansas is willing to give them blank Now we know what it is. What's our counter to that? And that's why I still think, go back to April 2nd. I know that particular night, right, a lot of hurt egos in the room, and it was embarrassing for the teams. The individuals that celebrated the win on April 2nd are not actually the biggest winners of the result on April 2nd. The biggest winners on April 2nd were still the teams. It didn't feel like that in the moment, right? It was an ego hit. They were embarrassed, probably. It wasn't a great campaign.
Yep.
The biggest winner, though, was still the Chiefs and the Royals. For what is happening, the reason what is happening right now, which is that other municipalities, other states in this case, Kansas, are willing to put forward a heck of an offer, it looks like, if this passes today, which would allow both the governor and Secretary of Commerce in Kansas to say, here's everything that I can utilize to present an offer when that time comes to negotiate during the summer. Because the session ends, remember, in Kansas, the next session doesn't start. It's not year-round. There's only a couple states that are year-round. So they wouldn't have a session again until January. So it's important that they get something passed today. They have the access to these funds, this bond district, and that way they can use that over the next 6+ months or whatever, if and when those negotiations truly do happen with the Chiefs. So it's significant news.
This is paying exactly the same way that they were asking to pay before, because like the way it works is it's a sales tax in your district, right? That's how the Royals and Chiefs were going to get their money out of Jackson County. Inside of Jackson County, there'd be a sales tax and then you'd pay it. Inside of this star district, and we don't know how big or wide that would be, and they have not specifically said it would be in Legends, although I guess that's where I'd assume.
That's where everybody assumes it would be, yep.
You would pay a premium every time you were in that area or spending money in that area, and that money would go back, essentially just paying the county back for all the money they lended it. It works the exact same way, just Kansas would be paying for it instead of Missouri. I know it's not exactly the same way, but it's the general concept. You pay a sales tax for being in that area to help pay for the sports teams. The difference is the Chiefs might have negotiated a sad $350 million renovation into a brand new $3.5 billion stadium they don't have to pay for. They're not even offering the chip-in yet like they were in the Jackson County side of things. I do think that this could make it slightly easier for the Royals to negotiate with Jackson County if the Chiefs moved forward on the Kansas side of things to go in there. But man, this is why I told you I didn't think the teams were going anywhere yet, because look how thirsty Kansas is. They're out here looking to approve something today that straight up says, we'll pay for it all. We'll give you every penny you want, Chiefs and Royals. Whatever, however many dollars you need, we got you. So that makes it hard to think they're leaving the area, doesn't it? Like if Kansas is willing to pay for everything.
That should be the number one priority for everybody. I don't care what side of the state line that you're on. If you're in Missouri or in Kansas, to me, the number one thing is always about making sure both teams don't leave the KC area. And you and I have been pretty consistent on saying,
I don't want them to leave KC.
We don't think that is really what's at stake yet. That to me is another failed vote away from actually being a problem. And this option wouldn't require a public vote.
No.
If in fact this passes today and then the Chiefs actually negotiate with Kansas and they choose to go that path, it would not require a public vote. That's the beautiful thing with the star bonds. Now, I say beautiful thing. That's my opinion. Others will say that's terrible and the people should decide. I'm just saying, if you're Kansas and you've never had, you have Sporting KC right now, but you've never had one of the major three sports leagues in your state, and you have an opportunity to get one, this might be truly your one time you have a chance to do this. Your one time. And that's why you had some representatives last night, including Sean Tarwater. Just listen to his answer. He was asked, I think it was Channel 9 was up in Topeka last night. He was asked, what would you say to voters in Missouri that did not pass that 3/8-cent sales tax extension back on April 2nd?
And what do you say to Missouri voters who are hoping for a better deal who voted this down?
Thanks.
They're giddy.
Wow.
They're giddy.
That was a kind of a flex there a little bit. Thanks.
They are giddy about the opportunity. How can you not? So we'll see. This doesn't mean anything's definitive. We'll update you on anything happening in Topeka. Senate started back up around 9 a.m. today. Nothing has happened. The bill has not come to the Senate floor.
It's like kicking in or like they doing other stuff?
Other business, man. Other state business, you know? And then at some point, of course, it has to get voted on in the Senate and then the House, you know?
That's a perfect congressperson's name, by the way. Tarwater.
Oh.
What part of Kansas does he represent?
I think he's in Stillwell.
Yeah.
I think he's in Stillwell.
Yeah. It feels like his name should be Sheriff Tarwater, but, you know, that's fine. Beyond that.
From
his
an old
name
movie or something?
Yes. Sheriff Tarwater from Stillwell, Kansas. Come on, man. Come on. That name's perfect. It's bang on. So yesterday, I got briefly excited because I thought all of these moments of me saying Travis Kelce is going to play forever. Mm-mm. He's going to play until he's 40. I didn't say 40, but like he's going to play into his late 30s. Look at Tony Gonzalez and how productive he was at 38 years old. Then I see the initial reports that say Travis Kelce signed a 2-year extension. Oh boy, here we go. He's under contract till he's 38. Man, not quite. That whole thing was a lie yesterday.
Mixed reporting, to say the least. Tom Pelissero and others kind of got some bad info initially. And when the news happened at 1:30 or so yesterday, we came back from break. We're like, hey, Ian Rappaport's saying that a source telling him Travis Kelce signed a 2-year extension. We're like, wow, that's makes him the highest paid tight end. They do the years. Yeah. We even said at the time, though, even with the two, if you were here, you would have disagreed, I think. But at the time, I said the 2 years part doesn't matter. I don't think that means he's playing for 4 more years. Then we find out a half hour later that it wasn't an extension at all. They just took care of him. That's what this is, right? This is the Chiefs.
This is Salvador Perez
taking care of a player that has meant so much to the team on and off the field, a player that helped them financially at times when they needed some flexibility over the years with restructuring his deal. You can't put in the words necessarily the value on and off the field. There's not a dollar figure on and off the field, and this was before the Taylor Swift relationship that he has brought to the organization from a marketability. And now they have taken care of him. He's the best tight end in football. He's going to go down as the greatest tight end in NFL history. And to me, I view it as, hey, Cody, let's enjoy these 2 years.
And it's done?
You know, there was a clip yesterday when Travis was actually signing the contract on social media the Chiefs put out. And the exact phrasing, I don't know if we have the audio in the system, but basically he mentioned ready for these next 2 years. And I think that's what we're looking at. Enjoy the next 2 years. Highest paid tight end in football, 2 more years to give it a go. He'll be, what, 37 by the time the 2 years are up or something like that. I think this is the 2-year run, man. This is the 2-year stretch. Can they three-peat? Can he get another ring? Can he continue to chase Tony Gonzalez's yardage mark? 2 years to go and do it. And hopefully he's healthy throughout the 2 years and we can see. I think this is about 2 years and that's why this thing got done as well.
Sad to report. And yeah, he's 34 now, which means he'll be 36 when the contract. He'll be 37 when the contract's over because he turns 35 in October. It just kind of depends on how you look at it.
Okay.
He'll technically be 36 when the contract's over, but he'd have to be 37 to keep playing. I think he's done in 2 years.
Yeah. How can you not like the way it's phrased, too, I think, with the contract?
Yeah, I want to view it different. You know that my stance has been this. But I also think when I started saying that a couple of years ago, his life was a lot different. When I thought he would play football forever, that's because his level of play, to me, still hasn't really dropped off. I understand last year ended up with less yards, but I thought that was a little bit of the injury stuff at the beginning and then him just choosing not to go for the 1,000 yards there in the final week of the season. I still think he'll be a 1,000-yard guy this year. He might be a 1,000-yard guy each of the last 2 years of that contract. I think the only thing I would say is I wouldn't put it at 100% because I think the way they structured this contract at least gives them the choice to be like, hey, if you decide you want 1 more year at the end of this, Travis, we could just keep paying you the money that's technically on the books that is non-guaranteed and rework it in a way that makes sense. But because of the success of his podcast, his very serious relationship with Taylor Swift, and a million other life reasons, like wanting to make sure you can walk and how his brother eventually decided to hang it up, my guess is we have 2 years. 2 years left of Travis Kelce to enjoy. That stinks. That's not enough, man. I want more. I want more than that. And it's not his, I'm not like mad at him about it, but I'm 100% with you that at this point, it is hard to take the other side of you're getting more than 2 years of Travis Kelce. It feels like I have to prepare for the end.
But I do think where I'll give you some credit a little bit is that the next 2 years still has a chance to be pretty productive. Now, I don't know about 1,300 yards productive, but 900 plus yards, guy was 16 away or whatever it was last year from 1,000, missed week one. We all know he also decided to sit out the week 18 game. And boy, oh boy, did that turn out to be a great decision. He had some time off and he looked like Hall of Fame Travis Kelce again in the playoffs. And so what I'm excited to see is if he goes through an offseason and he's fresh and he's rejuvenated and he gets to even week one this year, and doesn't have any sort of injury, the unfortunate bone bruise or whatever he suffered right before the Lions game. If he starts the year healthy, do we see Travis Kelce from the postseason right away? Because we would have to admit, right, during the regular season, he did not look like the Hall of Fame Travis Kelce all year. That's fair. But in the postseason, he sure as heck did.
And, yeah,
and so
absolutely.
Was it just that he wasn't healthy all year because the knee thing set him back? Obviously, the offense was frustrating. I think if you combine a healthy Kelce week one plus the ability to have Rashee Rice, maybe, there week one, and Xavier Worthy, who we're going to talk about 10 minutes or so, there's a chance that you could see that Travis Kelce that doesn't have to have as much burden on him immediately in the season and therefore stays healthier longer.
Yeah, it doesn't make, again, the yardage is not going to dictate his total value to the team. We saw his value come postseason time. That does mean they better start looking for answers. Like, that's why when you go back to the draft, and I think one of the bigger surprises coming out of the draft, and I'm sure you guys talked about this yesterday, was that they didn't take more than one wide receiver. Because you're like, look, if you think you've only got 2 years left of Travis floating around, yeah, sure, you got some answers with Rashee Rice, and you went for Xavier Worthy, and you went after some of those guys, but like, you're going to need more than just that to replace Travis Kelce because he does so much for this offense. Besides it rotating around Patrick Mahomes, it rotates around Travis Kelce the second most because of their ability to freelance and all the stuff that comes with it. You could see him getting emotional. His brother retired when he was still playing at a high level. Nobody thought Jason Kelce couldn't play center anymore. He obviously could. He was still one of the best centers in the entire league when he retired. So I don't think even if Travis Kelce goes 1,000 the next 2 years, he's going to look at, you know, what, the 2,400 yards he'd need left at the end of that to catch Tony Gonzalez and be like, well, I better just keep sticking around. He wouldn't even stick around for week 18 to get 18 yards for the numbers. He knows. He's got 3 rings. If he gets a fourth year in this time, he'll get to go down as the single greatest or one of the, anyone will sit in the room and make the argument he's the greatest tight end to ever play in the NFL. And most people won't argue with you unless they're just New England Patriots fans.
That's right.
Or, in this case, I don't think Chiefs fans would argue with the Tony Gonzalez end because they've seen Travis win the rings and they'll just move on. But it was tough. He's getting emotional about the signing. They took care of him.
Well,
they
good
should.
For him. I mean, yeah.
He deserves every cent.
He does. $4 million raise this year. He gets the early investing guarantee next year in March. I think it's like the third day of March or something like that. So essentially, he guarantees himself 2 years. And based off of not even just on-field production, man. Everything he's just meant to the city and to the team. This is one of those, you take care of this guy. It's a no-brainer. I mean, honestly, it's a no-brainer.
Even Brett Veach is the second greatest chief of all time, right? Patrick Mahomes and then Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
The rings matter. Look, Lynn Dawson's on that. He's on the Mount Rushmore, but like when you shake it out, when you're talking about like greatest players in your franchise's history, rings matter. And he's got a whole bunch of them.
I also think, go back a couple years when the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill. Yes, the money was a huge factor, but also there was jealousy from Tyreek Hill. He knew he was never going to be on the same level, viewed in the same level as Kelce and Mahomes. And that was before the Chiefs won a couple more rings. That was before Kelce, you know, was dating one of the most famous people on earth.
That's a whole
you know,
other thing.
All of that. That was before the podcast of his blew up. You know, I think there was some jealousy from Tyreek Hill knowing that he was never going to be as loved as Travis Kelce is in this community.
He has no
and
hope.
Obviously Mahomes. So, this was cool to see yesterday. You know, Brett Veach even acknowledged, like, Kelce's an outlier. They got some other guys they got to get deals done with. Creed Humphrey or Trey Smith or Nick Bolton. But Travis Kelce is someone, they did it, you know, a day or two after the draft on purpose.
Speaking of Creed Humphrey real quick. One, excellent WWE performance from him and Trey Smith and Patrick Mahomes. We'll play some of that audio later because it was fantastic. I'm just going to make something clear on this show right now. Until the Chiefs give Creed Humphrey a contract extension at center, Hunter Norzad and I are enemies. We do not get along.
Enemies.
Enemies. He's coming in here to threaten my guy?
No.
Not for me.
No, he's Nick
not. Not until there's an extension in Creed Humphrey's hand. Hunter Norzad and I are enemies. We can be friends. Once we can be cool. We can be totally cool once Creed gets a contract extension. It's fine. Until that moment, we are against each other. We are on opposite sides of a battle. Until that moment.
He's Nick Allegretti's replacement.
He did play a lot
maybe
of different positions.
Maybe ultimately
in
is a Trey Smith replacement. He mainly played center, though, but he does have versatility. I think if anything, if he replaces anybody at some point, it's Trey Smith in a year if they don't get a deal done with him. But you need depth on the O-line. Nick Allegretti's starting now with the Commanders, so you bring in a guy that has flexibility. That, to me, is what this is. It's Nick Allegretti and maybe a Trey Smith replacement in a year. But you don't have anything to worry about. Look at you already creating enemies with a newcomer to Kansas City.
I
thought you were welcoming to this community.
I usually am welcoming to this community. Not to Hunter Norzad.
Wow.
Not to him. Not to him until Creed Humphrey has his contract extension. Then we're cool. Hmm. Then he can be the new Nick Allegretti.
You
got to
be on board
problem.
Right away, man. You got to decide one way right now. You've declared yourself and that he's an enemy of yours right away.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
That means in a couple years, in 4 years.
No, I said until Creed gets his deal.
In 4 years, when the Chiefs have a random injury on the O-line and they need Norzad to spot start in Super Bowl 60-something, that is going to be his moment. You can't jump on board then.
Wait, I don't have to be enemies for life. We're going to know for Creed.
But some of us will never have been an enemy.
Will have always backed him and been on his side. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Look, they're threatening my guy. It's a weak threat, but it's a threat. It's the old, like, you know, Creed, you might want to, like, get in the backyard and throw some snaps towards some tin cans. Or
Super Bowl 61 in 2027 when he has to make a spot start out in SoFi Stadium.
Man, I miss Nick Allegretti already. He was such a likable dude.
And he got hurt. Remember, he played through that injury.
I know, yeah. He tore something in his, like, pec or something, right?
No, the pec was, Tooney. He had something else.
Labrum, maybe? Is that what
it was? Elbow. There's something that he was.
Elbow, that's what it was. He'd ripped up his elbow and just played the rest of the game.
Yeah, there's something.
He got himself paid, and I'm happy for Nick Allegretti. And I'll be happy for Hunter Norzad if he gets himself paid one day, too.
All right,
just not for the next couple of months until Creed Humphrey has a deal.
Up next, let's talk about the number one pick, though, for the Chiefs. The first round pick, I should say. And the guy that is going to wear number one in a Chiefs uniform, Xavier Worthy. He already got a tattoo, by the way, of the Chiefs. We'll discuss that and what it means in year one.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Look, I got enemies, got a lot of enemies, got a lot of people trying to drain me of my energy, they're trying to take away from it.
Great song choice.
Very good. Very good. Coming up in 30 minutes, we will talk about Roger Goodell's comments that kind of got lost a little bit over the weekend because of the draft. We didn't get to it yesterday, but what he wants to see happen in the NFL in terms of the amount of games, and could a lot of people be getting their wish around President's Day weekend and a potential Super Bowl?
Not 25% of Americans.
But a lot of people would be off of work for President's Day, or already are off of work, and how that could tie into the Super Bowl. So that's coming up in about a half hour. But let's talk a little bit more about the draft. And I did see, though, Xavier Worthy. He's not wasting any time. Yesterday, he went on Instagram Live, and he was live while he was getting a tattoo, and he's got like a Chiefs, you know, he's got an Arrowhead KC tattoo.
I hope he gets a second contract.
I was like, that's pretty bold. But look, you're a first-round pick. You know, you're here for 3-4 years at minimum. So sure. It's not like it's his first ever tattoo. So he was on Instagram Live. So that's pretty cool. He's all in with the Chiefs at this point. And what the expectation is for him, I think he lands in a really good spot, not just because it's Reed and Mahomes and all that, but because they brought in Hollywood Brown in the offseason, because they have Rashee Rice, suspension maybe to be determined, and I still think there's a chance that he's not suspended by week one. It could be much later. He's not being asked to come in and be the dude right away. And I think that is huge for his development. Rashee Rice initially wasn't asked to be that. It ended up being that by week 8 the season. And I don't think that's playing out the same way. Even if you think Worthy is going to have a modest season. You know, we were trying to throw out yardage. Let's call it a 500-yard season and 4 touchdowns. For a rookie season where you're the number 3, that's not a problem for me. I know some people want him to have a lot bigger season, but
sure, I'd like him to have like 1,500 yards and it'd be like Jamar Chase's rookie year.
But the difference is last year, who were the number 1 and number 2s going into, not eventually, but going into the season, who do we think were the number 1 and number 2 receivers?
Kadarius Toney.
And MVS, probably.
MVS?
Oh, and there was high hopes for Sky Moore. I was high on Richie James as well. None of that stuff happened.
Gross.
I know.
In retrospect, horrifying.
Now heading into the season, we think Rice, Brown, Worthy, then Toney / Moore and Watson.
So I was trying to ask myself this question, not because I think that, like, I like the pick of Xavier Worthy. We talked about it on Friday. I know we didn't have a long show, but I like the pick of Xavier Worthy. What I was thinking about, though, is, like, if it ended up being kind of that redshirt-y year, he's a little slow to come along, and we hear the things at camp and just be like, well, you know, wasn't running a complicated system enough at Texas, and Andy Reid's offense is really tough to learn. The things that they will toss out every year for any wide receiver. And Rashee, you have to remember, started kind of slow. He wasn't a major factor in the offense early on. He had to become a factor later. Is, do they need him? Because last year, they ended up needing Rashee Rice bad. So let's just say Worthy is a non-factor this year. It is more like Sky Moore's rookie year than Rashee Rice's rookie year. Are they better offensively? And again, I'm not predicting that. But are they better offensively than they were last year in totality, needing Rashee Rice?
How can the answer not be yes?
I mean, God, based on the receivers you just said, it has to be yes, doesn't it? Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice, now that we know what Rashee Rice is, is better than, at the end of the year, what Rashee Rice and who was wide receiver number 2 at the end of the year? MVS?
Yeah, probably still was.
Dear God, that was their Justin Watson? Who finished with the second most yardage on the team?
It was MVS, wasn't it?
No way. He finished with like 400 yards. It's probably Justin Watson. Like, not including Travis Kelce. Obviously, he's a constant.
Watson had 460 last year.
So he was second? So, I mean, I have to assume that Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice.
MVS had 315.
Yeah. Oh, my God. 315 is even worse than I thought. So, I mean, at this point, I am to assume that the number 1 and 2 wide receivers of Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown, they'd be significantly more productive than Rashee Rice and Justin Watson. So they're already better. Watson becomes the 3 in that scenario. Now, they are missing MVS, but 315 yards, I can replace that with literally anybody, so it doesn't matter. Like, I just kind of have to assume that they are infinitely better, even if Xavier Worthy takes a gap year. Even if I hope it isn't that. I'm tired of,
I don't,
like,
think it'll be a gap year,
I don't think so either.
You know, the snap counts, there's still no reason going to this is all, let's just assume Rashee Rice is playing 16 games and suspension pending, that, you know, Rice and Hollywood Brown are going to get the most snaps of anybody in the wide receiver room. And then after that, what's the balance in mix like? In week 1, let's say Rice is not suspended week 1. And it's Rice, it's Worthy, it's Brown, it's, you know, everybody's available. Sky Moore, Watson, Toney.
Sure.
And I can already promise you on Monday, people will probably be complaining because you're going to be surprised in week 1 if Xavier Worthy's snaps are not so much higher than the combination of Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. Like, I know that's what we want, but you know that's just how
they operate.
It would not surprise me at all if you tell me that Watson and Sky Moore and Toney combined or whatever all end up with more snaps than Xavier Worthy just out of the gate.
I kind of have to assume that, don't I? Like, I don't want to be that guy or just say there's no hope. But, like, tell me how I'm supposed to assume the other side of that when that's not how they've operated, even with the wide receiver. And by the way, there was times early last year that were like, hey, it's fairly obvious. I remember specifically a conversation we had on this show in, like, week 4 in which we said, hey, we all know that Rashee Rice is the best receiver on this team, right? Like, we all agree. We're all looking at it. when he gets the ball, they're successful versus the other people that, like, when they don't get the ball, they're not successful. So what are the Chiefs doing? And it took them a few more weeks because they like to be safe, be smart about it, take their time, and kind of work them in. I was just trying to make sure that they didn't have to have Worthy in order to see an improvement from the offense, because then I can view Worthy for the season I want, which is anything he does is gravy. It makes them a little bit better than what they were last year, anything he manages to accomplish.
Well, look, if you go into week one, you have a healthy Travis Kelce, hopefully, in week one. Well, last year, as we discussed earlier this show already, he was hurt before the Lions game. If you have a healthy Kelce, let's say Rice is available week one, because we all agree at some point he's probably getting suspended, but we also have seen how the NFL operates. There is a decent chance they don't make their decision by the time week one starts. So he could get suspended next year. It could be a lot later in the year. Hell, it could carry into 2025. Nobody has the answer to that. So I don't think it's like this automatic Rashee Rice is not available week one. In fact, if I had a bet on it right now, I would actually bet that he is playing week one and the suspension is coming later.
But that does change the math a little bit from the expectations, because you do need him more. Because if I take Rashee Rice out of the question, well, then you definitely
need
Worthy.
Rice is gone for six games and it's Worthy, Hollywood Brown, the weird thing will be, who's the guy that steps up after that? Because Worthy...
Justin Watson. Worthy, it's always the same guy.
Right, because Worthy and Brown, to me, are very similar players. That's why I said when they drafted Worthy, I believe they found their Hollywood Brown replacement in a year. People got upset when I tweeted that. They're like, why are you already talking about the future? Because it's the damn draft. It's all about the future, right? Like,
yeah, it's not about 1 year.
Hollywood Brown is on a one-year contract. So Xavier Worthy, to me, is the Hollywood Brown replacement in a year. Well, if Rice is gone for six games, route-wise, yeah, maybe you're right, Cody. It's Justin Watson. Who's taking the Rashee Rice routes specifically? Because I don't think they're just going to have Hollywood Brown start running those.
No, I don't think. I mean, I'd be surprised if they had him do that. But they're going to have somebody run the Rashee Rice routes. That's Justin Watson. He's the do-everything dude. It's not Tony. It's not Sky Moore. It's Justin Watson. And look, they made part of their season work last year when it was Justin Watson, a, you know, Hollywood Brown type, let's just call that Rashee Rice at the time, is another capable wide receiver, and Travis Kelce. He wasn't pretty. I didn't like it. And I don't think their offense would be very good if that's the way they were trying to operate. But I do think that they can that's like last year's level of offensive ability. The second you toss Rashee Rice back into it post, you know, whatever the suspension I think will be, because I do think he's getting one.
Yep.
Then we're having a different conversation and everything else is gravy. I was trying to look at Worthy, not as if like it ends up, I don't think it'll be like FAU's year in which they just won't use him, right? Mm. Like he just didn't play and I don't think it's going to be
he's
going to
be their
like
number
that.
Three receiver.
Yeah, I think he'll be heavily involved in their offense in some capacity. I think it might end up being that he has 27 catches, but it's for 440 yards and they're all, you know, he averages 22 yards a catch because they used to have that in their offense. I don't think he's going to have 80 catches when the thing's done.
I think so.
But I definitely think he'll have some factor.
I think some of it depends on, does the offseason, like, nutrition plan, does that actually
Beef
work as well as they hope? They already acknowledged they would like him to get to, what, 175, 180. He's listed at 160. In terms of durability, making it through in the Chiefs camp, it's a 20-game season these days, essentially, every year because of the playoffs.
Who is the wide receiver that eats, like, Michael Phelps before an Olympic...
Well, yesterday when Bink was in,
Keon Coleman.
Can he just eat like Keon Coleman?
So that was the thing yesterday. Bink was in, and he said he thinks Keon Coleman's going to eat himself out of the league like Kelvin Benjamin. And I said that's crazy.
Damn, he's already called him Kelvin Benjamin
because of the Waffle House story. But yes, they need Xavier Worthy to go with the Waffle House route essentially, and Keon Coleman. It sucks he's on the Bills because every video the Bills keep putting out about Keon Coleman from an off the field standpoint. He looks like he's going to be fun to cover for a very long time.
Very fun.
And it stinks we don't have that personality here. Ultimately, right, I'll take the guy that I think can have a much more productive career. But still, Keon Coleman looks like he's going to be an easy guy to root for. Just sucks that he's in Buffalo. Because did you see the latest video? Not just the
crowd therapy one?
Not just the Macy's jacket and eating snacks with the media. But they took him through the locker room in Buffalo, and they took him in the cryotherapy room. And he's like, damn, this is cold. And he's like, you guys got to give me that Undertaker intro. And so they turned off the lights and they had him walk out like the Undertaker, but it was all his idea. Like he just seems so relatable and normal and seems like a cool kid to root for. Keon Coleman in Buffalo.
They're not going to, Josh Allen can't get past Patrick Mahomes, even if Keon Coleman's good. They had Stephon Diggs. He was a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL for 5 years in a row. Keon Coleman could still be good. It's not going to make him pass, you know, It's not going to make me past Kansas City.
We'll talk some more NFL here in about 15 minutes or so. Roger Goodell was on the Pat McAfee show, and McAfee was actually in town in Kansas City last night at the for Raw. We'll mention that. But Goodell was on his show and discussed potentially an 18-game schedule, so we'll get there in 15 minutes or so. Last night, though, the Royals in action again against the Blue Jays. They have the series finale coming up tomorrow, a day game. But tonight, the Royals trying to snap this three-game losing streak. And yesterday, look, you're going to have a spot starter because Alec Marsh is on the IL, and everybody kind of knew it was going to be Jonathan Bolin based off of, unfortunately, how Daniel Lynch has started the season down in the minors. So Bolin was the option. And I think watching Bolin in particular, he looks like he could be an asset in the bullpen at some point. I don't think he's a starter ever really for this team. They just needed somebody to spot start. But you watch him pitch, he can be a guy, I think, that helps him in the bullpen later on this season. Right now, they're just in a little bit of a funk. To me, it's the ebbs and flows of the baseball season. I said it yesterday. If I told you they'd have 17 wins at the end of April, we all would have signed up for it. I do I do want them to win tonight because, no, a franchise record, I believe, most wins will be if they get to the 18th.
A franchise record now, right?
Yeah, so if they get a win tonight, they would have 18, which would be the most in April in club history. But that requires a win this evening and also snapping a three-game losing streak.
Like, I looked up that Buster Olney stat, I think it was, where to win 17 games a year after in April, a year after you had lost 100 games, only happened two times in Major League Baseball history, one was the 2003 Kansas City Royals, a team that we all infinitely enjoyed, and last year's Pittsburgh Pirates, the only two teams to manage that accomplishment. There is no way for you to spin to me that April was not a success for this team, even if they lose their fourth straight tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But I am concerned because the fear was always going to be when somebody misses time, and they had the worst starter, hypothetically, based on 1 through 5 and the way that the worst starter missed time. And you're like, hey, can you just hold on to it? Can you just give me a little juice? Bolin showed me a little juice. Like the breaking pitch wasn't there. Fastball looked like it had a little life. I'll give it another entertainment. Part of my frustration is they've been trying to hand this fifth starter job to Daniel Lynch for years. He can't even be the first choice up anymore. Like, whatever hope I had for Daniel Lynch, it's cooked. I don't want to disbelieve. I hope it all comes together. But they gave Bolin the first crack because he was pitching really well in AAA. And I thought didn't pitch great last night. Look, Justin Turner got the better of him a couple of times, which sucks, but he's a major league hitter who's been around a long time, and he took advantage of you. The Royals, I don't, you know, like, obviously if they lose 4 in a row, it's the same thing we're talking about before. Can you stop the losing streak before it gets bad? It is a massive pitching matchup again tonight. It is Berrios versus Reagans again. Two guys who would have been contenders for the Cy Young 3 weeks into the season and certainly still are two of the pitchers pitching as well as anyone in Major League Baseball. So they're going to need Reagans to come through with the win tonight before they come back home.
And this time they both should be able to pitch the full game. We don't have the rain issue. They're in Toronto.
Only went 5 innings.
Yeah. Because and the Royals ended up winning that game, but it was rain shortened game or whatever. So they wrap things up today and tomorrow in Toronto before coming back home. We'll have Vern on the show Thursday with the day game tomorrow. So normally Vern will join us on a Wednesday, but look, I'm with you. I said it yesterday. There are concerns still for sure, but bigger picture, man, let's say they finish even at 17-14, although 18-13 looks a hell of a lot better than 17-14.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, we all would have signed up for that. And I think in the May, what will be fascinating is to continue to watch with the opponents that they play. You only can play the opponents on your schedule, but I think it's pretty clear also, and this is fine, you don't apologize for it, but they were the beneficiary of playing the White Sox quite a bit. Otherwise, I mean, that's the difference in them being 17-12 and, you know, 500.
But 500, I probably would have taken too.
100%. 100%. And so they get the Blue Jays, and then, by the way, they're going to take on a defending World Series champion Rangers team. Then you get the Brewers before things
Brewers are really good
could ease up a little bit with the Angels. But it's a tough stretch, and the good news is they're competitive in all these games. I know that ultimately that's not what matters. But
moral
it's a
victories.
But it's a good sign of, they could. Some of these games are going to flip in their favor, hopefully, as the season continues. Not that they're getting their ass kicked by better competition. No, they're losing close games. You know, yesterday, you're right, they had a spot starter in Bolin who didn't have great stuff consistently and got the better of them, the hitters of the Blue Jays, but they lost 6-5. We can talk about the offensive struggles. They scored 5 runs yesterday, though. I know there was runners in scoring position, failed
just
opportunities.
Just kept hitting home runs to try to catch themselves back into the game.
Solo shots, unfortunately. You know, Fermin and Isbell.
Because, they just missed their opportunities. Vinny came up with the bases loaded and grounded out with 2 outs earlier in the game, and then Michael Massey came up with a runner in score. Like, Bobby Witt Jr. was standing at third base, and just didn't get the hit that time. And sometimes that will happen. You will lose one-run games in baseball. The Royals have done a better job at winning those games than losing those. But yeah, I just want to make sure that, like, when it comes to the fifth starter, when Bolin has to start again, because he'll just start again, when he has to start again here in five games, I want the fifth starter to keep him in games. Alec Marsh didn't pitch lights out five straight times. They were 5-0 in his games, but he wasn't the reincarnation of Cy Young when he went out there. He was a good pitcher. He kept him in games. It was always a battle, and he stayed close, and the Royals found a way to win all those games. Bolin kept them within range, right? Because they kept scoring, he kept them within range. That's all I'm asking usually out of the fifth starter. It's just like you don't want your fears to be realized where last year you knew the second they got past starter three, it was a mess. And they should have enough veterans in AAA that if they have to have one, two, three, four, five starts here and there from the guy, they should be able to live their lives. That's all I want out of them, mostly. Vinny is struggling. I don't. It's like a week straight now.
It is, but here, I guess for me, it's a 162-game season. Yeah. I mean, whether it's the team losing three in a row, whether it's
same
a player,
as I wasn't panicked at the beginning, I wouldn't panic now.
Yeah, it's the same. You know, there are some other players that are on much longer cold hitting streaks. MJ Melendez, to name one. But you have ebbs and flows, man, of a baseball season. You're going to have guys. I mean, heck, even Bobby Witt Jr.'s quote-unquote cooled off here a little bit, right? This is very rarely does a player go 162 without ever having, like, a 10-game spurt of.
It's like just Barry Bonds that 1 year.
I mean, there's very few players that didn't have a spurt. So, no, let's see what what the next week brings. And can they continue some of the momentum that they had earlier in April into May? Because right now, obviously, momentum's heading in the opposite direction. But if you get a stopper tonight and you cut down this three-game losing streak and you even, you get level again, you will, then I think everybody can take a deep breath. But this is, I think, just the difference of what it's like once again to actually care on a nightly basis about this team. Because in the past, 2 weeks in the season, everybody's like, forget it. They're already toast. Now we're everybody's invested. I think more and more people are getting invested. And so with that, you're going to nitpick more things. You're going to be more frustrated by a particular result.
By a loss in game 31. Yeah. By the way, I did see, for the people who continue to complain that you can't watch the Royals, I don't know if the deal's still good, but yesterday they sent out a deal for Bally. You get 2 months for $14.99 total.
There you go.
So if you want to watch the Royals for the next 2 months, $15. Go to their Twitter account.
Get you through June.
They had...
Hey, yeah. The Bally app came in handy last night for non-MLB. So NBA playoffs were going on.
Oh, you can watch the Thunder.
And the Thunder-Pelicans game was really tight in the fourth quarter. And I'm like, let me flip on. And, of course, it pops up. Game is blacked out, which is a whole other topic. What the hell are we blacking out playoff games for NBA? What the heck is going on?
I'm in Kansas City.
Exactly. It's the dumbest thing. Anyway, so I'm like, wait a second. I think the Bally app has the Thunder, and sure enough, I watched the fourth quarter on the Bally app. So there you go. Don't tell me the Bally app doesn't have programming.
Speaking of baseball briefly, it brought me some joy, although I think that they just threw their partners under the bus and they should admit the blame. Why does baseball feel the need every couple of years to gaslight us into thinking something isn't true that we all know objectively is true? And then later admits it. A couple of years ago, it was the juice baseballs. We all knew they were juiced. We kept saying the baseballs were juiced. We said it the whole damn time. And they were like, no, they're not. And then, like, after the season, they're like, yeah, they were pretty juiced. Yeah, you were right. Turns out they were wound super tight. You nailed it. But they tell us we're liars.
Yeah.
Baseball this year tried for 6 straight weeks to be like, stop it. They're exactly the same. You all are liars. You're blind. The pants aren't see-through. The tiny letters don't look stupid. You guys are idiots. Only to, a couple of days ago, admit what we all know, the uniforms stink, and vowing to fix them starting next season. Of course they stink. Look at them. They're terrible.
Right. So Jeff Passan of ESPN had an article about he got a hold of a memo that was sent with the players, the player complaints and everything, and says they are going to return to the larger lettering on the back of jerseys, which also was the mismatching gray tops. Remember, there was different like shades of gray for the top and the bottom. Addressing the new Nike jerseys, which also showed a lot of like sweat. It was just very bizarre. The changes, Passan says, will happen at the latest beginning the 2025 season. They're also going to include the fixes to the pants, as you said, the see-through pants. The union informed players of the changes in a letter that placed the blame on Nike and its debut of what they called their Vapor Premier uniform, which was advertised for its superior performance, but remains disliked by players. The memo also, they're just throwing Nike under the bus, as you said. Quote, this has been entirely a Nike issue. At its core, what has happened here is...
But they told us there was no issue.
At its core is what happened here is that Nike was innovating something that didn't need to be innovated. The union also absolved Fanatics. So they're protecting Fanatics.
Well, Fanatics does give them, just real quick, Fanatics gives them hundreds of millions of dollars for the right to produce these. So it's not surprising baseball would protect their partner. What I hate about that comment is baseball told us there was nothing wrong. They, for months, were just like, they're fine. You guys are crazy. They look exactly the same. Nobody can tell the difference. These are great. And then they decided to throw Nike under the bus. Look, I don't know who was at fault. I'm assuming everyone bears a little bit of blame. Baseball for allowing them to do it. Nike for trying to probably innovate something they didn't need to. And Fanatics for just laying in the cut. Would they get no blame for this? They're the name of the jersey company being put in place of this. They obviously get some blame. There wasn't a single meeting where they showed you the new jersey and said, this is what we're going with. And the guy at Fanatics was like, cool beans, man. Sounds great. He didn't raise an objection.
My guess, the reason why they denied it back in spring training is because they knew they didn't have enough time to correct it before the season. And so now it's like, it's one of those where they were just hoping that they could kick the can down the road a little bit. And they know there's no way to replace them as quickly as they want. And maybe now they have a plan that they could fix them before the end of the year. It says by the beginning of 2025. I guess that means there's a chance.
In a year, we'll get the Royals big letters.
Yeah.
I want to remind you that because you're like, why did the Royals get small letters again? Baseball didn't want Fanatics. I'm just dead serious. I did like actual reporting on this. Baseball didn't want Fanatics to look bad because they like their business daddy. They like, oh, look at our little money, and they want to put it all together and take care of themselves. They didn't want them to look bad. And the Royals correctly through the proper channels got approval to have the big letters. And then once they realized that they were the only ones who looked cool, they were like, well, that makes Fanatics look bad. We can't have that. Back to the small letters, you peasants. And didn't let the Royals keep them. It's nonsense. Thank God they admitted they were wrong, at least. Companies are so stupid sometimes.
Good news, guys. We've been approved for the apartment.
Oh,
real quick, before
we got a new place. Hey.
Just found out. So.
Nope, you're getting out of that bleep hole that you were in before. And the mold and all that is done. So, okay.
May 14th.
That's the day.
Move-in
Do you need
day.
Us to help? Is that what you're... Is this you're trying to make us...
No. Move day.
We actually, as a show, are taking the entire day off just to move you.
Look, if you want to help...
meet us out there.
If you want to help, great. If not, I think, you know... the good thing is that we've already been packing stuff, so we've got 2 weeks now to be able to really get everything...
What day of the week
together?
Is May 14th?
I don't know. It's my mom's birthday, actually.
Oh, there you go.
It is a Tuesday.
Tuesday.
That's a funky day. Is it a day game?
Oh.
Just out of curiosity.
Boy, that'd be a lot more convenient.
So
for
are you
your
saying
group.
You're taking off the 14th? Is that what you're already that's what that's what's happening?
I think that is happening.
That's fine.
Not necessarily, but
the Royals do not have a day game. They play out in Seattle. Quite the opposite.
Oh, okay.
They have a very late night game.
Mm-hmm. The next day, the 15th, yeah, see 4:10 doesn't do us any good.
So 3:10 Central?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just do our normal
I think it's 3:10 Central, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad it's official that you're out of there. Text line says one person volunteering already to help you.
Thank you. We should do a remote broadcast doing play-by-play.
From the apartment complex.
Play-by-play
of Drew moving in.
We're not actually helping.
No.
We're just talking about him doing it.
The good thing is that this place does have an elevator, so that helps significantly.
The new place has an elevator to your place?
Can you find out if the pool, if they're opening their pool before Memorial Day weekend? If the pool's open and there's a nice courtyard, we'll just do the show from the pool area May 14th.
I told you I wanted to do Club 610s from the pool. We could just do one on a Tuesday. It's fine.
Yeah, if the pool is open before Memorial Day weekend, that's a little early, unfortunately, but we can just do that. All right, coming up next, though, let's talk a little bit more about the NFL. In particular, I think something that a lot of people have been asking for, at least one part of it, it's the other part that everybody doesn't like, from Roger Goodell. We'll explain that next.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!